Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine. Today, we're looking at the winds and the waves. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity of being together again and looking into your word. We ask you one more time to let your word come alive to us. And Father God, help us come alive to your word, that your word may live in us and we may live that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, today we're looking at the winds and the waves. Last night we had a little thunderstorm around here, and the thunder woke me up, but I could hear the sounds of the winds whipping through the trees. And then when I walked out into my front yard this morning, there were little branches down, and those were the acts of the winds. The winds had caused some damage in the trees. Anyway, and I began to think about this, and I know that these are passages that may be familiar, but two things. Number one, we may point out something that you haven't really looked at it in that way. Number one. Number two, these are always good things to remind ourselves of. Sometimes there are things in the scriptures that we just forget to remember. And it does us good, and it might just be in a timely fashion for you. So we're going to look in the scriptures at the winds and the waves. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew. The first thing we're going to do is kind of set the groundwork, because we're going to look in Matthew chapter 8. And it does talk about the winds and waves, but I want to lay the groundwork for this so that you know what Jesus' disciples had been through with him and what had come out of their mouth. So in chapter 8, we're going to read scripture verses 23 through 27. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And, you know, the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret, whatever you end up calling it, is a very shallow lake, and it's very, or sea, whichever you want to call it, it's very well known for storms rising quickly. And so all the sailors, the fishermen on it, were very, very aware that that happened. And that's what happened in this case. They went out, the weather was fine, and a storm whipped up. Okay. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he, that is being Jesus, was asleep. His disciples came to him, awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, ye of little faith? He arose, rebuked the winds and the waves, the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So they were in this boat, there arose this storm, and the winds kicked up, the waves were covering the ship, and Jesus got up, and it says he rebuked the winds and the sea. Verse 27, but the men marveled, the men, that being the disciples, marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that is Jesus, that even the winds and the seas obey him? The winds and the waves obeyed Jesus. So this is what we see in this, that they were on a boat with Jesus. Jesus was with them. He was sleeping. We're not really going to look at this passage so much, but I want you to realize they had already been in a boat with Jesus. Storm arose. They woke him, and he spoke to the winds, and the sea calmed. The winds and the waves obeyed him. Out of their own mouth, they acknowledged that they knew that Jesus, the winds and the waves, obey him. So now we're going to turn to chapter 14, Matthew. As I told you, that sometimes what we need to do is be reminded of things, that we forget things, that we let things slip, simple truths, simple knowledge that we have of the Lord. Well, this is exactly what was happening to them. They'd already been through a storm with Jesus. They saw the manner of man he was. And it's interesting. It didn't say what he could do. I want to stop there for a moment. Too many people are interested in studying to know what Jesus can do. What can he do for me? Can he heal me? Can he make me rich? Can he, you know, it almost sounds like that Doris Day song, you know, what does tomorrow hold? But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. They were saying what manner of man he was. This is about who Jesus is. If you only study what Jesus can do, then you will lose sight of who Jesus is. Now, in this story, in this passage, there is a little bit of a wrinkle in that the other one, Jesus was in the boat with them. In this one, they go onto the ship ahead of him, and the storm arises, and Jesus isn't there. Now, either they forgot what he had just done in, we'll say, you know, a few chapters back in Matthew 8, which is possible, and that happens with us. We forget what we know, what we've seen the Lord do. When trouble arises, a storm arises, problems arise, we forget what he has done for us in the past. But the other way to consider this, too, is if you are only looking at what Jesus can do and you don't really consider who Jesus is, then we have something else. If they say, oh, the winds and the seas obey him, then he, of course, you can say, obviously, he has the power to speak to the winds and the waves. Well, but here's the difference. He wasn't in the ship with them this time. If you only look at what Jesus can do, then you will always be limited to the circumstances in which you find yourself. And the circumstances always change. Remember when, I think it was Elijah, was in the cleft of the rock, and he said, you know, and he heard, you know, God, you know, he was looking for God, and it was God wasn't in the wind, God wasn't in the earthquake, God wasn't in all these things, it was a still small voice. Well, if we only see, okay, God one time answered me by earthquake, then we think, then we're looking for the earthquake. If God answered you before in a miraculous delivery, then you're going to look for that same miraculous delivery. If God answered you before by an audible voice, you're going to be listening for the audible voice, and you may miss him, because it's not about what he can do. It's about who he is, what manner of man he is, not just what he can do. So either A, they forgot, there may be a combination of both, which is what we can do, which is why we're reviewing this passage today. On the other hand, it also could be that if you get so focused on what God can do, we forget who God is and who he is in our life. All right, so now we're that preface. We're on to Matthew 14, looking at the winds and the waves. We're going to read our passage and then come back to it. Okay, let's start with verse 22, and we'll read through 32, 10 verses. And straightway Jesus constrained, there, some things had gone on, there had been a big night of healing, etc., etc., and he wanted them to go ahead and go in the boat, and he wanted to take some time apart, some time to recuperate, some time to spend with the Lord. I just want to encourage you, we all need that. Whatever your life is, but especially in ministry, you need to know how to pull back and take care of yourself. Sometimes we can't do it in the midst of what's going on, but often we have to make that opportunity, and that's what Jesus was doing. Then straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. He sent the multitude away. He sent his disciples before him. And when he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Okay. It was funny. I was encouraging somebody the other day in self-care that you just have to sometimes take time to minister to yourself. So you refreshed and renewed for what lies ahead and for the people who need you. And it felt to that person that it was almost selfish. And I used this, I said, if I find a scripture, will you believe the scriptures? And I used this one, that if Jesus himself would take time apart from doing for others, see, he didn't enter into the boat with his disciples. He took time apart. Then certainly, if it's okay for Jesus, it's okay for us. We do not have to be on 24/7. We need to know how to refresh our body, and we need to have fresh our mind as well. Okay, that said, he was alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and was contrary. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read all of it, and then we'll back up to it. And in the fourth watch, that's sometime between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bidst me come unto thee on the water. I'll put this aside in. It's really kind of funny. If it's you, then bid me come. They were thinking maybe it was a spirit. Well, if it's a spirit, what if it was a lying spirit? Sure, come and drown. Oh, well, never mind. Maybe nobody thinks like that but me. But anyway, he said, bid me come on the water. Verse 29, and he, that is Jesus, said, come. Just one word. Sometimes that's all you get from God is just one word. But there's more power in that one word. The word was come. Sometimes the word is go. Sometimes the word is sit. Sometimes the word is pray. But sometimes it's just one word, but there's more power in that one word. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, when the reason Jesus responded to him was because he said it in faith, if it's you, then bid me come. When he said come, he came. So many of us say, oh Lord, if it's you, send me. If it's you, I'll do this. And then he says, okay. And we then don't respond. You can fault Peter for a lot of things, but when Jesus said come, he climbed out of the ship. He walked on the water. Underline that part. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. That's a marvelous phrase. How many times he stretches forth his hand. He did that to the leper, remember? He stretched forth his hand. Anyway, he also did that to, we'll go on. And caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. He didn't say, oh, no faith. But anyway, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, I want to remind you of the passage we read before, because all of the disciples out their mouth acknowledged that they knew the manner of man Jesus was, that the winds and the waves obeyed him. Not that they knew all about him, but they did know he was that kind of a man. So here they are. Here's the difference. They're now out in a ship in the middle of the night, but Jesus isn't there. And I don't know if this has ever hit you, but sometimes you feel you're right out smack where God sent you. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You are where he told you to go. But then a huge storm arises and you look around and he doesn't seem to be there. In this instance, he actually wasn't there, but we may know what it feels like to go, he's not here. He sent me out here and I'm in this big mess, and where's he when I need him? Not an accusation, but we just feel desperate. We feel afraid, because remember, before he was in the boat with them. But they didn't learn from that he is capable of handling the storm. So if he's the manner of man, that the storm would be calmed by his voice, does it really matter if he's in the ship or on the shore? But we often don't think those things through, so we can't blame them. But we do know what it feels like. At least, if not now, you have in the past. And if you've never, well, I hate to tell you, but before you get out of this place, you will understand what it feels like to be in the middle of the night in a storm where you think you're supposed to be and you can't find Jesus for love or money. Not that he isn't there. Not that he doesn't know, but you can't feel him. You can't see him. Okay, so they're there. Now, Jesus comes walking on the water. But I want to back up to verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Why were there waves? The waves are going to drown them. The waves are going to capsize the ship. Why are there waves? Why? Because the wind was contrary. Now, there's going to be a symmetry, so we're going to talk about this end of it. Then we're going to talk the relationship between the winds and the waves at this end of the miracle and the winds and the waves at the other end of the miracle. But remember, they already all acknowledge that he is the manner of man to whom both, and they didn't say both, but they said whom the seas, which is the waves, and the winds obey him. So they're both of them. They've acknowledged this. But they're in this boat, and they're worried because there are waves that are going to capsize the boat. So it looks to them like the waves are their problem. The waves are going to kill them. Is that not so? They're looking at it that way. But if you see from even before the storm begins, it says that the reason the waves were so strong is because the wind was contrary. And I just want to remind you of something. Most of you already know this. Some of you may not, but it's good to learn early, and it's good to always remember. We may think we know what the problem is, but what is the problem that causes the problem? That's what we sometimes have to get our eyes on. The waves were the thing that was going to capsize the boat, but what caused those waves to almost capsize the boat? It was the winds, the invisible, intangible winds caused the waves. You may have a situation in your life where it looks like one person is the problem, but they may just be the tangible problem. It may be the wind, and you remember wind is also the same word in the Greek for spirit, that's behind them that pushes them. There are invisible qualities in our lives that push other things to cause our problems. Many times we forget that there's a spiritual origin to many of the tangible problems. So the winds were contrary, making the waves to come up over the boat and almost drown them. So, you know, just in your life, I just want to remind you to look for the winds behind the waves. That in our lives, you know, it wasn't the waves may be the agent of drowning them, but it was the winds that pushed the waves to do so. All right, so we see that relationship there. We see he comes. Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. He comes. Now look at the end of the other side of the miracle. Verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. It didn't say he was trying to walk on the water. It didn't say that he was attempting to walk on the water. What did it say? That he was walking on the water. And you can say, well, maybe it's only one or two steps. Well, you try one or two steps. That he got out of the boat, it says he was walking on the water. He is already doing the impossible. I just want to encourage you today, because you may not really realize it, but you already are doing the impossible. You may not understand all that yet. How am I going to handle the things coming up? But that you, a child of God, are living in this world, but not of this world, are already living a miracle. You are already living the impossible. You are a child of God in the midst of a wicked and corrupt nation, the word says. You already are living devoted to him, serving God in a world that's serving mammon. You already have died to yourself, and you have been reborn in him. All these things are by itself impossible. So you already are doing the impossible. So what is this little thing of not having a job, or this little thing of a sickness, or this little thing of discouragement, or this little thing of indecisiveness? Whatever it is that's facing you that seems to be to stump us, to stop us, to cause us to drown in our problems, Peter had already gotten out of the boat and was already walking on the water. Didn't say he was thinking about it. Didn't say he was trying to. It said that he was walking on the water. And then he began to sink. Well, you already are living the impossible. We are a miracle. Our life is hid in Christ. We don't know yet what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. We know that we have passed from death unto life already. We know all, I could just go on and on with all the impossible things that we're already living. And so here we are, and what was by comparison a small problem. Now, how is it that he began to sink? Jesus said, come, he came, he walked. And that should be the end of the miracle. We should all be praising God. But something intervened. And I want to encourage you today, if you started out well, if you've got a goal, you've got a vision, you've got a word of promise, whatever you may have, you hear the voice of God and you walk out on that word and it seems like all things going well, and then all of a sudden in the middle of all of it, you start drowning and you know you don't know what to do. You're afraid. But I want to remind you, you were already doing it. So what happens now? Remember, the winds churned up the waves. The winds were contrary, made the waves rise up to almost sink the boat. Now we are here in verse 29. He was walking on the water to go to Jesus. Now verse 30, but, I love those small little words. Sometimes we get so hung up on the big words or the big concepts, we forget those little words. But is a conjunction, and it connects what has happened with what is going to happen, or what is happening with what has already happened, and it sets it in contrast. It shows like the opposite. He was walking, but in contrast to walking, what happens? He starts to sink. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. It wasn't even the wind, it was his fear. You are doing the impossible in the midst of the impossible. If there were a time to be afraid, don't you think when he said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come, that everybody else was afraid, but he wasn't afraid then, was he? Or when he got out of the boat and started walking on the water, wouldn't that be the time to be afraid? But he wasn't afraid then. But something made him afraid. I'm going to just ask you now, did you start? Well, I love how Paul wrote to, I think it was the Galatians. He says, what has hindered you? You started out well, but now, you know, something has hindered you. You started out well. What is it that has hindered you? Anyway, that said, here he is. He started out well. But something hindered him, made him afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. What I believe is the first miracle that Peter performed, which is one of my all-time favorite miracles, was the man at the temple gate, at the gate beautiful, you know, at the entering into the temple, the man that was laid there lame for 38 years, it says, he said, rise up and walk. And it says, and he stretched out his hand and lifted him up. See, there's something about being with Jesus. You learn to do what's right, even if you don't understand why. Peter did not just say, arise and walk. It said, and this to me is the most miraculous part of that thing, it says he reached down and lifted him up. The thing is, we got so many people who want to have this powerful, miraculous healing ministries and this life of all these things to help others, but they want to just use their words. They want to just say, rise and walk. But that's not enough. Peter didn't just say, rise and walk, did he? What did he do? It says he reached down and lifted him. I know I've taught that one before, and we'll go back to it, because to me that is the beginning of the healing ministry in the church. Anyway, that said, he learned that from somewhere, not just through the words we learn, but being with Jesus, being in the Spirit, being around that presence. And so Peter saw that Jesus didn't just say, he said, come, and that was enough, but now he needed to say, arise, but he didn't. He just reached down and lifted him up. And when they came in the boat, okay, it says that the wind ceased. Well, when the wind ceased, the waves ceased. Amen? Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And I just want to remind you that what we think our problem is may not be the problem. What's the problem behind the problem? You may in your own life be struggling with some things. Maybe you're struggling with anger, or maybe you're struggling with addiction, or maybe you're struggling with, I don't know what you're struggling with, but whatever it may be, we may try and fight that by changing our behavior, by meditating on scripture, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes we have to find what's the problem behind the problem. In this instance, there was fear, wasn't there? There can be many things. There's a problem behind the problem. Anyway, but let's go back to this, because we saw at the beginning that the waves were riled up by the wind. The wind produced the waves, which almost drowned them. But now Peter is walking on the water to Jesus. The storm's still around them. Let me tell you, you can still get to Jesus even when the storms run. He didn't calm the storm and then say, okay, Peter, come. Sometimes God will send you out in the midst of the storm. God does not always calm the storm before he sends you out, you know. And that's the truth. Sometimes we have to go out in the midst of the storm. So Peter's out, and he's actually walking on the water. Was it one step, two steps, 10 steps? We don't know. I know that they could see Jesus, so it was far enough that they could see Jesus. Now think about this. It says in the storm they could see this spirit, but then they realized it was Jesus, so they could visually see him, all right? And it does say that he walked, but when he began to drown, he was at least within arm's length, wasn't he, of Jesus. Sometimes we can come a long way from where we've been. We can be feeling good about it, and we'll get with what is, I guess, metaphorically, an arm's length of success, an arm's length of deliverance, an arm's length of our miracle. We're getting within arm's length of Jesus, and then we start to sink. But Jesus reached out. He did not just use his words. There are times, like I said before, you can't pin Jesus down. It's what manner of man he is. Sometimes he gives instructions. Sometimes he gives directions. And sometimes he just literally physically picks you up without uttering a sound. So he lifted him up. Then later he rebuked him, but that's okay. He lifted him up. And they were saved. But let's go back to verse 30, because this is the main point I want to share today. He was walking on the water, probably going a little bit farther than we think. He was walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was his goal, not to go out there and dance and say, look at me, see how much faith I have. Sometimes I concern that a lot of times in ministry, people want to do well for the very wrong reasons. But anyway, he was out there walking to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, we're going to kind of dissect this a little bit. He saw it. And what did he see? He saw the winds. Well, you really can't see the winds, can you? He can see the waves whipped up by the winds. But his eyes, he had been looking unto Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was doing the impossible, and he would have continued to do the impossible. But he saw the winds boisterous. Now, at the beginning, remember I said that the winds whipped up the waves, and it was the waves that were going to drown them. But look at the reciprocal of this. Look at the symmetry of this. Now that is not the case, because he's already walking on top of the waves that would have killed him. He saw the winds boisterous. So the very thing that would have killed him isn't concerning him. But something that is intangible, has no strength, has no... no harm in itself. These are just winds. If you're walking on water, what possible damage could the winds do to you? I will answer, absolutely none. When you are already doing the impossible, you are walking on water, you get your eyes off of Jesus, and all of a sudden you see, whoa, look at these winds that are against me, the winds that were contrary, the winds that are boisterous. See, the power of God is often very, very quiet and very calm and very still. Shout out to one of my mothers in the Lord who taught a great message on be still, that the Ark of the Covenant was still. It didn't talk, it didn't shout, it didn't yell. So the power of God, Jesus was there, he was walking on the water, he was doing the impossible. But he saw the winds boisterous. He got his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. I just want to encourage you today that there's something that wants to distract you. There's some other power, there's some other force, there's some other condition, there's something that in itself has no power. But when we get our eyes on it, instead of on Jesus, we become afraid. And when we become afraid, we begin to drown. But very fortunately, Jesus is there and he reaches out to us. And when he reaches out to us, he lifts us up. Amen. I want to encourage you today to acknowledge those things in your life. There are times that we need to just refer to certain things, certain circumstances, certain situations, that all they are is a bunch of hot air. All they are boisterous winds trying to distract me, trying to detract from what God is doing in me. And so just from now on, just refer to them as the boisterous winds, or if you prefer, BW. When you look at your bank account, sometimes there's a BW in there. When you look at in your home, sometimes there's a BW. You look in your church, sometimes there's a BW. You look in your office, there's a BW. All it is boisterous winds. Jesus is still standing in front of you. Jesus is reaching out to you. And we will, by the power of God, make it to him and back in the boat. He bid us come, we will come. If for us today we have gotten our eyes off of him and become worried and afraid of the boisterous winds, today we're going to put our eyes back on Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we remember today what manner of man you sent to us in Jesus. Thank you that even if he isn't in the boat with us, he's right alongside the boat, walking and keeping an eye on us, keeping a tab on us. We remember that he is the kind of man to whom all the winds and the waves obey, all the things that are stacked against us, all the things that were working against us. Father God, you are greater than them. We thank you that we know we are already living an impossible life. I thank you that today we just remember all those detractors are simply boisterous winds. It's you, your word, and us coming to you. Thank you, Father God, for honoring that today. And thank you, Father God, for making your word solid, a solid rock under our feet, that we don't worry about either the winds or the waves, for you are the Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes off the winds. And we'll see you again next time. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, discovering God's hidden treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619 619- 469-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Gitem Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Gitem Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him